Our scripture today is found in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1 says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, and you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of David, the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" And Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger.'" The word of the Lord. This is a good holiday season. This is probably America's favorite holiday because it's filled with lights and wonders and family and gift giving, but also really good songs, right? A lot of you were mad at me last year because we didn't sing some of those great songs, right? But the truth is, I didn't grow up on these songs, right? I didn't go to church as a kid. My songs were Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, right? Those are the songs I could sing. Even Blue Christmas by Elvis, right? But the truth is, what makes these songs that we sing during this time special, different, is what they are. Sometimes we forget that the songs we sing here at church aren't songs, they're prayers. Every time we sing, I don't care if it's a contemporary song that we're singing or one of the oldest hymns we have in the hymnal, it's a prayer. That's why we call it worship. And I am a staunch believer that what we pray shapes us. That's why for some of us, we love the good old hymns because we see so much theology in it, right? Think about the songs we sang today, Joy to the World, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. These songs hold big theology, big long stories. And for the contemporary songs, it's usually not that. It's usually one point driven home so that way we get it, we can walk away with it. But in all of it, these songs are meant to shape us. This time in this season, we are making memories, right? But we're also doing some reminiscing. And I'm sure, just like me, for you, this time of the year comes with people singing and gathering, right? I still remember to this day, every time we would leave to go anywhere on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, my dad would be putting on 93.9, right? And you would hear the various Christmas songs, and it's one of the few times I would hear my dad sing. And we would be singing in the car, right? Even if we weren't going to church, we were singing. These are memories that shaped me, that helped me understand what family was, helped me understand what this holiday meant, right? Why it was important. Lucas just had to do a report. They're doing it for the next couple of months, families and their holiday season, what they do. And he got to ask my dad some of these questions of what did you do for your Christmases? What are your holiday traditions? And lo and behold, one of them was singing those good old Christmas songs. But again, not just Christmas songs, but these Advent and Christmas songs shape us. So from now all the way past Christmas, during the Christmas season, we will be singing certain songs, certain hymns, and asking the question how they shape us, why they matter. Because again, we're not just singing these songs, we're praying these songs, and they should be shaping and forming us. So our hymn today is, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. How does this song shape us? Well, something that I notice is that there's angels everywhere in this story. From beginning to end, there are angels in this story. And the scripture, it's drawing from other scriptures we read today, found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 and chapter 3. The story of the annunciation, announcement, right? That Jesus will be born, that Mary, you are going to conceive a child. Even if we go back further than that, the announcement that Zechariah and Elizabeth will be having a child, right? At the beginning of some of our favorite stories and scriptures of this season, there are angels. And we also got to read a little bit of the ending from Luke, right? Where the shepherds are out in their field. And who do they see? The angels announcing the good news to them. So how in this hymn, how in our scriptures, this story of this season, it begins and ends with angels. How does that shape us? Well, I think we need to ask three things. One, who and what are angels? Two, what is their message? And three, who is the message to? I think if we ask those really three good questions, we get somewhere. So the first one, what are angels? Angels, now I'm going back to my roots. I'm going to feel like the guy from Big Fat Greek Wedding. Let us go back to the Greek. We can find all our English in Greek. And it's true on this word specifically. Angels is from the Greek word angelos. It looks spelled the exact same way, except for at the L, it continues with an OS, right? And in the Greek, it means messenger. And the Hebrew word means the same exact thing. What are angels at the heart? They are messengers. That is what they do. They get to tell people of God's divine will, purpose, what God is doing. That is what an angel does. If we could have any biblical truth, that's it. And they are divine and splendid beings, right? That's how we describe them. Even listen to how the hymn described them as beautiful, wonderful, glorious beings. And their message is just the same. So what do these divine messengers have to say? And we would say it's the good news. What's the good news? Crickets, I love that. Yeah, that's exactly it, right? What's the good news? Nothing. No, the good news. If you were in ancient Rome, there were three very big things that you would hear of somebody proclaiming the good news. First, you have a new ruler. Somebody new is in charge. That fits, right? Birth of a king. Two, the birthday of the king. There you go. So you got a new ruler, and guess what? We're going to remind you and tell you when his birthday is, and you can celebrate it. That sounds great. Third one, tax relief. So celebration all around, right? Good news, truly. And of course, what do we get to hear from these angels, from these messengers? Their message is the king is being born, the savior, the rescuer, the redeemer, the Lord. They're drawing on all the hopes and promises that God has given God's people throughout his history and saying, it's happening. It's coming. The thing you've been longing and waiting for those of us who were with us last year during Advent, we kept longing and waiting for those good songs that just wouldn't come. And we felt that anxiousness, that presence, that long waitedness. And we could put ourselves in the shoes of everybody who comes before Jesus, going, I'm longing for God to do what God has said he's going to do. And the good news is, it's happening. And it's not just happening to a select few people. It's not even happening to a people, right? God's promise is to renew all people, all creation. It doesn't say in John 3:16, God so loved a few that he sent his one and only son. It says God so loved the world, the cosmos, everything, everything gets renewed. Everything gets made right, right? This kingdom, we've talked about this kingdom that is coming in the spring and in the summer, where we said that the coming kingdom is one filled with hope and joy and peace and love and kindness and abundance and compassion and forgiveness. We've said that that also includes liberation, and liberation from death, from hurt, from violence, from oppression. And so when we hear this, we are being declared that the one who's going to be the ruler of this kingdom has been born. And that is good news. Yes? Oh, no, 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 no. We just heard a lot of good things. That didn't sound like a yes. Yes? Okay. Come on, I know it's early in the morning. But it's good news. These are good things that we ourselves long for. As we look to this world, as we see disaster after disaster, as we see more and more horrible things, violence, right? How many countries are now at war with each other that we could just name off the top of our head? How hard has it been in life? What horrors and tragedies have we already heard here in our church during our prayer time, right? We know and long for the world to be made right and to be put in right relationship with God, where we have this hope that one day that love, that grace, that forgiveness, that healing, that rescue, that liberation will come, right? Part of the Advent is remembering the time that Jesus was incarnated, came among us when God dwelt with us, and our longing for Jesus' return. This is honestly, Advent is not about Jesus being born. That's a symbol to help us point towards his return. This is about the second coming. This is our hope and our longing as we cling to Jesus, right? But now here's the fun part. Who's the message to, right? We've got the messengers, we got the message, but who's it to? If you were a guessing person, if you were going to put money down back in the first century who these angels should visit, it's not anybody we read about. It should have been, first glance, the Roman emperor, the one who said he's in charge of all things, the one who went around claiming he was the savior. You would think God would send an envoy, a messenger, to let him know you're not it. You would think, right? Or if not him, somebody around him? No. How about we'll get closer to Jesus? How about somebody in the vicinity who's ruling on behalf, right? You've got Herod, you've got Pilate, you've got a whole bunch of people that the angel could have came to and said, somebody important is being born in the place you're currently governing. No. Jerusalem. You would think in Jerusalem, the high priest, the one who gets to stand in the presence of the Lord at least once a year, you would think for sure he's going to come to the high priest. Or no? No, not then either? Who does he come to? Well, if we go a little bit before, we get Zechariah. Zechariah is your average everyday priest. He's putting in his 9 to 5. He's not going into the holies of holies. He's not going into the throne room. There's a place outside of that where there's incense that have to be continually burning. And so he's going in to do his job. He's going in. He's putting some, maybe stoking the fire, putting some more oils or something in there for the incense to smell good. And then, bam, there's an angel going, guess what? Good news. Your son is going to be the one who ushers in the king. Imagine that work day, right? Who do we got next? Mary? Well, where's Nazareth? I think y'all can relate. Nazareth is the place that if you go too fast along the turn, you might miss it, right? It's a place outside where some people might even go, where? Nazareth? We even have one of the disciples go, can anything good come from Nazareth, right? Like, what is special about Nazareth? And it's in Galilee. Everybody in Jerusalem would go, stick my nose up to that place. Oh, Galilee, that's the worst. That's all the Gentile up there, far away. It's better here in the big city in Jerusalem. And this is the place you choose a woman from? And not even a woman. Our best guess is that Mary was 12 to 14 years old. Right for marriage age. Again, we go, oh my God, I can't even imagine getting married at that young, right? Let alone having a baby. But back then, she was just average. That's the age. Joseph was probably no more than 18, right? We look at that and go, kids, can you think of anybody more lowly, more humble than this? We haven't even talked about character yet. We've just talked about place and situation. This is who the royal divine messenger from the Lord of Lords, gods of God, is going to let know about his divine plan to her. And then once the baby comes, who's told? Shepherds. Not even shepherds in the city. They're out in the field. That's where they're living. It literally says, who are living in the field. This is the time where they're out there day and night, sleeping, smelling, bathing in all that it means to be with the sheep. Right? And now, let's be honest. There's some mixed feelings we have with shepherds, right? On one hand, David was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. It's not like these were not semi-respected positions. It wasn't like they were like, yeah, but they smell. That's true. But it's not all bad when we think of shepherds, right? And even the prophets use shepherds as a metaphor for good and bad leadership. Are you a good leader? Are you a good shepherd? How are you shepherding your people, right? We have that imagery there. But also, they were smelly. And also, they didn't go to church all the time. You know why? Because their sheep weren't allowed in the synagogue. Who's watching my sheep? They weren't your average attending churchgoer. They probably had really bad church attendance. Why? Because their jobs required them to be away for long, extended periods of time. Matter of fact, these are the people who are out of sight, out of mind. Right? Because they're out there. They're living out there. You don't think about the shepherds till they come to town. Because then you smell them coming, right? I'm going to keep saying it because I can only imagine the smell. But it's true, right? Out of sight, out of mind. And when they come, people are like, whoa, you could go back out. And then the religious people are going, and I really wish you would attend church more. Right? This is who the royal envoy, the divine messengers give their message to? The people who are out of sight, out of mind? The lowest of lows, the most humble? The people you wouldn't think of going to? The average person at their average job? Again, sometimes we like to think, well, Zechariah was working in the temple and how great was that? And oh my God, he was nobody. He was just a guy doing his job. Yes, was it important? Yeah, but I don't think you all look at me going, oh my gosh, he works in the church and that's so amazing and he must be somebody of importance. No. I'm here. My job is to love you guys, be with you guys, but it's not like I can go, hey God, I know, Ron, you really want me to have that special connection for when it rains or not rain on time, that I've got the ear of the big guy and I can be loud. But I'm not the high priest, right? This is who this good news goes to. Have you ever heard of trickle-down economics? This seems like trickle-up salvation, right? Trickle-up good news. Because you couldn't find the most downward-facing people, right? Like the most average, the most lowly and humble. The out of sight, out of mind. This is who this message comes to. Not the people of importance. We get told later in the story, three people who aren't anywhere near close come to town and go, what do you mean you haven't heard? It hasn't trickled up yet. But what does that mean? Because it came upon the midnight clear, that hymn, Luke, this scripture, these songs, it's shaping us to understand that as we're praying, what does it mean for a royal, divine messenger coming with the greatest good news you could ever hear, not just for you, not just for your family, not just for your community, but for the whole of the world to come and pick these people? I think that's God giving dignity to people that maybe don't always have dignity in the community. Respect to the people who don't always have respect in the community. The people who aren't always seen in the community. And if the good news can come to them who are average and lowly and out of sight and out of mind, then that means it can come for me. That the angel's message is for me. That the angel's message is for you. That it's not for a certain group. It's not for only these people. It's not for the best and the brightest. It's not for the most wealthy. It's not even for the movers and shakers of this world. It's for all of us. And if God so loves these people, that this is who he goes out and tells, how much more dignity and respect can we give to those around us that maybe we don't see often, that are the out of sight, out of mind, the average person, right? The average Joe. The person who is lowly. Doesn't this sound like Jesus' ministry? The people who are out of sight, out of mind, the lowest, the average, he goes to them with the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God has drawn near to you. The kingdom of God has drawn near to us. This message, this beautiful message that we put a whole month worth of songs and celebrations and decorations and wonderful food together, this is what it reminds us, that although this message could have come to the top hats in all of the community, could have come to the mover and shakers, the rich, it came to the poor, the forgotten, the lonely, the average, it came to us. And I hope that message sinks into you, that this good news, this healing, this rescue, this love, this dignity, this respect, that is how God sees you. That is how God loves you. That if it could come, this message, this good news can be celebrated and announced to Mary, to Zechariah, to the shepherds, then it's announced to you, to me, to us. And that's worthy of singing all the songs, don't you think? That's worthy of us going out and telling the world. That's worthy enough for us to just be shaped by that. What does it mean? How does it shape you? I'll ask you this. To know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods wants you to hear this message. That thinks highly enough of you. Gracious enough to you. Respects you enough to give this message also to you. To me, to this community, to the world. That is some love and respect that makes me feel charitable, loving, gracious. It doesn't just want me to continue telling the good news. That makes me want to act on this good news. And that's what this whole season is about. Remembering how when Christ came, the world went upside down. And that love and that announcement, that respect, that dignity is now given to each and every one of us. And we get to celebrate. We talked about it today. There's almost all cultures. When you go into any culture that is celebrating or Christian, there's always a story about somebody who hears the story of Christmas and becomes charitable, becomes giving, becomes loving and gracious. And so that is what this season is. That's the proper response to this good news. We can't help but share it and share all that we have. That's how praying and singing this song works. That's how it shapes us. This divine, royal message from these beautiful, glorious, wonderful beings. And their wonderful good news comes to the lowly, the average, the out of sight and out of mind. And that is good news for all of us. And that is transformation and transformational for all of us. Amen? Let us pray. God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings, as we look forward to the incarnation of your Son, that is Christmas, we come before you with joy in our hearts, love in our hearts, celebration in our hearts for the good news that you sent to the lowly, the average, and the out of sight and out of mind. To those who maybe aren't the movers and shakers of this world, but nonetheless, you have brought these wonderful, glorious beings who live on high with you to come down to us, so the song says. To share this good news, to announce the good news, to point us in the direction of the birth of your Son. And so as we celebrate, as we take in that love, that respect, that dignity that is given to us, maybe who don't always have the highest view of ourselves, maybe wonder how and why God so loves us, not just the world, but me, you, us, that this story, this song, this prayer would shape us to realize your love, to feel your love, and to do what this song, what this good news, what this message has done generation after generation, which has caused us not just to celebrate, but to be charitable, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be loving. And in so doing, we can fully turn this world upside down as you did. We can join you in sharing that good news. We can join in sharing and declaring the good news that you sent your messengers to share with us. And let us not forget that that's what already happened. That is the event. News is what has happened, but we are looking forward to the hope, the theme of this week. That is the hope in our resurrection, in your second coming, where your kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that that message, this message, your good news, this song, this season would shape us to be people who are closer to you, who follow you, who celebrate you, and all that that means to be transformed by you into people of the kingdom. Father, let us join the generations who have walked faithfully and served you in celebrating and sharing this good news in word and deed. We pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.